Want to have your own business but don't want to start from scratch? Franchising might be the answer you're looking for. Welcome to the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show, the show that brings you thought leaders in business, franchising, and high-performance personal development. Whether you're a buyer, seller, franchisee, franchisor, or consultant, find everything you need to know about franchising right here. Own a business without the pain and financial losses that come with creating it. Find the time, freedom, and financial independence you can have through entrepreneurship. Learn how franchising can help you get there. Listen up and get ready for another episode of The Level Up with Nick Lopez Show.
Welcome to the Level Up Show with Nick Lopez, where we have the absolute pleasure of learning from thought leaders in business, franchising, and high performance. Today's guest is an absolute rock star, Eric Recker. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Nick. I'm excited to be here.
Absolutely. My gosh, I am excited to share your story. Let's dive right in. What would you say is your job title?
That's a good one. A few years ago, it was pretty simple. My job title was dentist. And that was something that was pretty much my identity. Through burnout, through seasons of real struggles and nearly selling my practice and walking away, I found out that I needed to reinvent myself. And through that, I decided that the lessons that I had learned on my journey were lessons that I wanted to share with other people. At this point in my career, I have a partner in my dental practice. I actually sold half of my dental practice instead of selling all of it, which ended up being an amazing idea. And now I'm working with a partner and that works great. So I see patients Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And the other days, I work on keynote speaking, leadership facilitation, and coaching on mindset, burnout, and trying to help people figure out their purpose and figure out the path forward in life. So I don't really have one title. So it's, I guess you could say dentist, author, speaker, coach. Let's go with that.
Yeah. So how does a dentist focus on burnout and mindset?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think one thing that happens with a lot of business owners, not just dentists, is that when we go to school, we are trained to do the thing that we want to do. So I was trained to be a dentist and I became a reluctant business owner. That wasn't really what I got into it for. I wanted to be a dentist. If you own your own practice, all of a sudden you are not just a dentist, you are the head of HR and you are the head of marketing. And you are the chief financial officer and the CEO and all of those different hats that you have to wear. And it can be pretty tough to wear all those hats when you have a team of 20 that is working along with you. So basically, I would say that led to burnout for me. Just trying to be too many things to too many people, trying to do it all. So that was part of the journey for me. And I didn't even know that it was burnout at the time, to be quite honest. But now understanding more, studying more, learning more, I know that how I got to burnout, and that's my hope, is to help people on their journey so they don't have to go as far down the road as I did.
And burnout for you was what year, just to clarify?
I've actually went through three significant rounds of burnout. The first one was in the 2000 timeframe. The other one was 2015-16. And then the final round, the one that really about took me out, was ramping up as COVID started, and that extended into 2021.
Yeah, 08, 09, 2020.
Yeah, there were a few things going on in the world during that time.
It was 15 related.
15 was... I think 15 was just that I didn't really learn the lessons I needed to do in 2008, 2009. I ended up having another associate. My father was another associate dentist in my practice. My father was getting close to retirement. He was another dentist in my practice. And just trying to find my way forward as personnel changed and our office was growing very quickly. It was a combination of all of those things.
Absolutely. And what about some of the other hats that you've worn? When did you get started in those?
Yeah. In 2020, before COVID hit, my family and I had scheduled an amazing trip. For spring break, we were going to go to Spain. We were going to stay right on the shore of the Mediterranean. We were going to do some day trips to Morocco. And we had this amazing sort of once-in-a-lifetime trip planned. And I knew that this trip needed to be a big deal because my oldest son was going to be graduating from high school. Some big changes were going to be happening at our house. So I had really put this trip on a pedestal. 2 days before we were to take off, the world started to really shut down. And it's a good thing we didn't travel to Spain, because I don't know if you remember, Nick, Spain was not a good place to be in the early part of COVID. So I'm glad we didn't take the trip, but we were stuck with what's next. And then the next week, my office was closed down, as many things were, for 8 weeks. And I found something new that I hadn't had in a long time, and that was discretionary time. And I wasn't really sure what to do with that time. I was burned out. And in dentistry, we were getting webinars thrown at us like crazy. How do you handle the PPP loans? How do you handle the new infection control stuff? How do you handle new policies and procedures that we're going to have to do in our office? And all of these things, I called it death by webinar. I think a lot of us experienced that. And so I knew that I needed something more than just having that time while my office was closed. So I actually committed to 30 minutes of quiet each day. So that was the first thing that I did in the morning. I would get up and I would get ready for the day, and then I would sit in quiet for 30 minutes and just be alone with my thoughts and try to figure out what I wanted to do with my life going forward. And I knew that I had a journey that was significant, and I knew I had a journey that was probably something that a lot of other people were on. So I started to try to figure out ways that I could use that journey to help other people along. So coaching became a logical next step with that. Speaking became a logical next step with that. And it really started ramping up as I started doing some writing. And that's when I was able to start the process of publishing my first book in 2020 into early 2021. And so that's the process that led me to start wearing some of these other hats.
You hit it right on the head there, right? I'm sure many folks were going through similar processes. And in the franchising world, that led to business ownership, becoming an owner of your time, your skills, your cash flow, in that you own an asset and are driving the ROI on that diversification strategy, which is franchising, but also scratches the itch of exiting corporate America when times are uncertain. But it's always been in the back of that individual's mind. And here is the opportunity to truly pursue what I want to pursue, what I've been wanting. And sometimes it takes literally a pandemic stopping your life for you to have some realizations that you've probably been having for a while. Right. But you're just on the hamster wheel.
Yeah. Yeah. You hit it right on the head there, the hamster wheel. My life needed a disruption. Now, I would not have chosen for it to be a global pandemic because I saw what it did to so many people. But I wonder if that's true for your audience as well, Nick, that a lot of people, they had those thoughts in their head, whether they were at the conscious level or the subconscious level, but sometimes it does take a significant disruption for us to be able to realize some of those opportunities that are right before us.
And ultimately, this led to you writing a book.
It did. It did. It was interesting. I was having a conversation with my practice management consultant for my business, and I said to him, Matt, my head is spinning. This was about a month after we were back in our offices from the pandemic. And It was crazy for us. We had a ton of new regulations. We had to wear basically hazmat suits when we were treating patients and figured out what life behind an N95 mask looks like and lots of other things like that. So I told him, I said, Matt, it feels like I am battling the false sense of urgency. And he said, what do you mean by that? And the way that I describe the false sense of urgency is that it's like a background app that runs in our brain all the time. So we all know the apps on our phones, the ones that run in the background and they're gathering data and they're chewing up battery and they're doing all those things. The false sense of urgency is like a background app for our brain. It tells us that we can't sit still. It tells us that there's always more to do. It tells us that we have a million things to do, but if we sat down and wrote down what we actually had to do, it wouldn't be anywhere near that long of a list. It's just a background angst that we have running in our minds. And I felt that so much during the pandemic. And I talked to a handful of my friends and they said, oh man, I couldn't put my finger on what I was feeling, but that's exactly what I was feeling. So Matt, my consultant, said, hey, I think you should write a book about that because I think you're not the only person. And so I sat down that day and started writing. And honestly, within about 4 months after that, I had an initial manuscript. That's with working full time and trying to manage a new mindset and a whole bunch of different stuff. So I really think that false sense of urgency is something that really bothers a lot of us. It always feels like there's more to do. It always feels like we're often feels like we're not good enough. It feels like we're not making any progress. And so my goal was to help some people, help people come up with some concrete ideas of how to push that sense of urgency back and be able to live better lives where we're not tormented by that quite as much.
So what do you mean by managing new mindset?
Yeah. So I went from a mindset where I was so burned out to trying to get into a new mindset of this is my life. This is what I have. How am I going to make the most of it and not suffer from burnout? And in the process of writing the book, I discovered the concept of win the now. And that changed everything for me because largely what I had been doing in my life was living it either stuck in the past or worried about the future. So I was stuck in the past with things that had happened to me in the past and burnout and all of that kind of stuff. And I was worried about the future. When's the next round of burnout going to hit? When is all the patients I had on my schedule, when their problems kept seeming bigger and bigger that I had to try to solve? And so what Win the Now taught me is that I was missing the only guaranteed thing in our life, and that's the moment right in front of us. I was missing the now. I was not living my life in the present. I was in one place with my mind and one place with my body. So that was the mindset that I was trying to wrap my head around. And as I worked on that and put that together with the false sense of urgency, always is forward thinking. And there's nothing wrong with forward thinking, but if we're always forward thinking, we're always worried about the last thing that we did, we miss out on the present moment. So that's what I was trying to wrap my head around. And when the now turns out to be the antidote or the solution for the false sense of urgency.
What are some practical ways to implement winning the now?
Yeah, win the now came to me because when I found myself, I would often come home from my day and my wife would say, hey, Eric, how was your day? And I would say, oh, this happened or this bad thing happened. I would reduce my day to one thing that had happened. I don't know if you've ever done that, Nick, but it's easy to look at our day. And yeah, it's easy to look at our day and say it was bad because this happened. But the reality is there were plenty of good things that happened during the day as well. So a practical way to incorporate win the now into your life is to think of what the different nows are in your life. So if you look at your schedule for the day, maybe you have 4 meetings, maybe you have your at your franchise for a couple hours a day or longer than that. Maybe you have to have a conversation with one of your team members. you take each of those different nows and you figure out what does a win look like. For us, for this time while we're recording, a win looks like a great conversation between the two of us. A win looks like good value added to your listeners. A win might look like practical action steps that people can take going forward. We try to find wins in those present moments. Now, there will be times when we have losses. There will be times when a presentation won't land quite as much as you want it to. There will be times when a conversation doesn't go as well as you hope that it would. And if that happens, it's easy to let that ruin the rest of our day. But instead, what I try to do when we take those losses is, what can we learn from that? How can we move forward with that loss? Was it a preparation thing? Was it more on the other person? They weren't prepared for the meeting. And once we can learn from that loss, and we might not be able to do it in real time, we might have to process it later. But once we can learn that from that loss, we turn that loss more into a win. And then we step back into the next moment, which is the next now. So if we find ourselves grabbing more wins, we start to feel like there's some momentum going. I don't know anybody. I've asked a ton of people. I don't know anybody who prefers a loss to a win. So we try to get those win streaks going, try to get momentum going so that we can move forward in our lives. And that concept always reminds us to draw back to the present moment.
That's such a great way of illustrating a high performance mentality.
Yes, it is. It is. And some people have, I haven't had a lot of critics towards this, but I have had people that have told me that it's too competitive, that you're too focused on winning all the time. And I said, that's not really what it's about. If we just have to find ways to bring ourselves back into the moment. And as I've talked a little bit more with the people who have been critical of it, one of the problems I think they've had is they're too quick to retreat to their technology, too quick to retreat to their screens. So I think they wanted me to justify that was a good way to go about life. But I think the reality is phones are probably the number one thing that keep us from grabbing wins in the present moment.
Oh, it's a skill and a discipline, right? Actually realizing winning the now, that's a state of mind. That's a discipline. That's a skill that grows the more you're disciplined about doing it.
Yeah, you're 100% right. And it's not something that I got right the first time. It's not something I got completely right the 20th time. I'm still working on it, still working on ways that I can be present in my life. And one of the big ones, I'm a huge fan of action steps. Like, what can your listeners actually take away from this and implement right away? I think technology is great. And if it wasn't for technology, we wouldn't be able to have this conversation this way. So there's a lot of wonderful things that technology can give us. But one thing that has changed a lot is we used to have some idle space for our brains. If we would pull up to our car at a traffic light, stoplight, it would be red, and we'd have a couple minutes to just be there and look at the world around, observe what's going on, not stimulate our brain so much, just be in the moment. I don't know about you, but when we get to those points now, it's pretty tempting to pull our phone out and check something real quick, check our email, check something on social media, do all those things. And what we've done is we've eliminated that idle space for our brain. We've totally cut out those times when our brain could catch up with itself in those moments. And so one of the things that I try to coach people on is, when your phone is in your pocket, asking a very simple question when you reach for it: why am I picking this up? And I think in asking that question, it will allow us to not always grab it just for the sake of grabbing it. I think we do that all the time. As much as a toddler, a two-year-old, when they're fussy, their parents give them a pacifier. And when we get a little uncomfortable with how life is going, instead of facing what's going on, we just pick up our devices and it becomes our adult pacifier. And I think what that's doing is it's making us not be able to cope with our anxieties, with our concerns. because all we do is kick them down the road a little farther and they get to be a bigger deal.
And just your emotions in general, right? Being present, being in the now. It could even just be standing in a waiting room instead of engaging folks around you, just retreat to sitting down and jumping on your phone, as opposed to the emotions and the headspace that's required to engage other folks. Also, just be an introvert thing versus an extrovert thing plays a factor, but it makes it so much easier to do that regardless, just default to a device as opposed to being present.
Yeah, 100%. And I understand the difference between introverts and extroverts. And I'm somebody who gathers a lot of energy from people, but I do need my time to just let my brain idle and be quiet as well. But I think that relationships are so important in our lives. And I think oftentimes we use being an introvert as an excuse to just be on our phone, when the possibility of connecting with someone and having a chance to be a part of the good part of their story is actually much better for us, much better for our brain, much better for our emotional well-being than retreating to those phones. So I agree with you 100% on that one.
Yeah, it's a great tip, right? Be disciplined about the technology and allow your headspace some catching up time, which is critical.
It is. It's very critical. We, like I said, it's not that long ago in history that was really the only choice we had. In the scope of all of history, we've had our phones to do that. What was the BlackBerry starting to get common in the early 2000s? That was about the first time that we really had to do that. The first phones we had, we could do that, but there wasn't any social media on them. There weren't really much for games and different stuff. Now, boy, we have a million rabbit holes we can go down on our phones, and that can happen almost instantly when we pick them up.
Yeah. Eric, I'm curious, right? Clearly, 2020 sparked different pursuits in your life. It really just demonstrated through your skills and your life experience. You authored a book. I'm genuinely interested. What is that book and what is it about?
Yeah, so it's basically a follow-up of what I was talking about with the false sense of urgency. And so that's the title of the book, The False Sense of Urgency and How to Win the Now. So basically, it's a step-by-step guide that talks through, okay, here's what the false sense of urgency is. Here's how it affects a lot of people. And then here are some things that we're doing that aren't helping us out a little bit. And then there's a lot of good tips in there about just how to do life well, some things that you can try. There's a chapter in there about sleep. There's a chapter in there about quiet. There's a chapter in there about relationships. And then there's a chapter towards the end about win the now. And so, again, I think that the stuff that I've gone through in my life would be a waste if I just kept it to myself. But if I can share it with other people, and hopefully shorten the distance for other people from where they are to where they could be, then that makes it all worth it. And that was the goal of writing the book. And it's amazing. They say that you write a book for the you that you once were. And it's absolutely true. And I see a lot of people who are in that type of situation. And I'm happy to try to be part of the good part of their story.
Yeah, that's very inspiring and most certainly noble. Where do you think your days of being a dentist play into who you're becoming, if that makes sense?
Oh, it makes great sense. So I was actually just talking to a group about this yesterday. There were years ago, I had a crisis of purpose, and I had been on a couple of mission trips where I had done dentistry, and we had just done so much dentistry. And I really felt like that's what I needed to do. I needed to do dentistry for underserved populations outside of the country. And so I came back from that mission trip and told my wife that I said, hey, we're living way too comfortably. We need to downsize our house. We need to sell one of our vehicles. and we need to live as lean as we possibly can so that I can walk away from my job and I can do mission dentistry. The bummer is for her that she hadn't been on that trip. She hadn't had the same experience that I had. So it was pretty shell shocking for her. And she was not at all interested in that. And I don't blame her because it would not have been the right decision. So I was mopey for a while. I was feeling a little bit depressed about that because I just didn't understand why I was in my office. I met with my mentor, who happened to be the pastor at my church. And he said to me, "Eric, how many conversations do you get to have a day?" And I said, "I don't know, maybe between my patients and my team, maybe I talk to 40 people in a day." And he said, "I'm the pastor of a big church and I don't get to talk to nearly that many people in a day. So here's your congregation, go impact them." And so my crisis of purpose stopped at that moment. And I knew that my job was to love my team well, to treat my team well, and to treat my patients well and treat them with empathy and love and dignity. And so through that, I really learned my love for people and my love for relationships. And from there, that's a logical progression into coaching. It's meeting people where they are and helping them get unstuck. And so that's basically my, without knowing it, my dental practice has been a lab for me to be able to learn how to relate well to people, learn how to help people through the stuff that they're going through, learn how to teach leadership to the other people who work on my team, and to help move forward. So I never would have thought that the two would go hand in hand, but they go really hand in hand. And another thing that I can do is if I have concepts that I want to teach to groups, I can teach them to my team first and get feedback on them. So it's really neat how it all works together.
Yeah, it's all about the people. Yeah, whether it's dentistry or what you're doing now, impacting and influencing, serving people well. I said it before, clearly a noble individual. And that's what makes you a very talented and interesting person. But I'm curious, in 3 years from now, what does success look like to you?
Yeah, that's a great question. Success looks like impact. So that is my word that I'm trying to focus on right now. So success looks like getting in front of groups so I can have an impact on them. Success looks like coaching somebody who might be able to turn their life around, turn their business around, or step into a business that they never would have thought was possible before we started working together. Through social media posts, through speaking, through coaching, whatever it is, I have another book that I'm working on. Through those things, my hope is that 3 years from now, I will have looked back on the last 3 years of my life and said that it was a time of impact. And so if that happens, then I will be very happy with where I'm at.
Do you have any specific type of impact that would parallel that success?
Yeah, so I think it would be being able to get in front of more audiences. So just getting more opportunities. I think I have a great message to share. The audiences that I have shared it in front of, it's been great. The feedback has been awesome. It's been life-changing. So when I hear of the type of impact I would like to have is when I hear that people are using the concepts that we talked about daily in their lives, and they're teaching their people how to use the same concepts. I recently gave a talk to a group of 150 people about mindset and self-care and reef strategies for when we get empty and when we get burned out. And I had somebody reach out to me a month later and said that their team is doing check-ins basically every day or every other day based on some of the concepts that we talked about. So to me, that's impact that lasts beyond the day of the presentation. And that's what my hope is.
What are some of those refueling steps?
Yeah. Without getting too far into it, we are basically, our lives are a flow of energy. So we have energy that flows into us and we have energy that flows out of us. And so what happens when we're burned out is that we are empty. So what we've been doing is we've been pouring out too much of what we have and not taking the time to refill and refuel. I think this has been the same equation for me each time I've been burned out. Is very simple. I was overcommitted and I wasn't taking care of myself. I had too much on my plate and I wasn't taking care of myself. A couple of the basic things that I talk to people about for refueling, one of them is very simple. It's just quiet. It's finding time in your life to be quiet. And I know as soon as I say that, I get a whole bunch of pushback from people, but being in quiet is so important for our brains. It's so important for our brain health. It's so important for us to be able to build back our reserve of energy. Another one is doing everything that we can to get good quality sleep. So not laying in bed, checking our phones, not eating a huge meal right before we go to sleep. Maybe just a few things along the lines of that for sleep. Another one would be having good quality relationships. When we have people that we can go on the journey with, then that's huge for refueling. And a final one I would say is we need to look at some of our commitments. And sometimes some of the things that we are committed to, we don't have the bandwidth for. And especially as a business owner, we're wearing a lot of hats. And so we have to be careful of how many things we're committed to. And in those commitments, how much are they draining of us? How much are they taking of our reserves? And the more we give, the more we have to take time to fill back up. So that's basically what the concept is.
Yeah, and that is a message that is so critical post-2020, clearly, and is very relevant to anybody that hears that message. And that's where you're being called to impact. And yeah, I wish you much success. Right from the onset of the call, I could tell that you are an individual of a noble intent, and that is inspiring. Thank you for your message and the direction that you're going with this season, this chapter of your life. If anybody would like to learn more or get in touch with you, how can they do that?
Yeah, the easiest place is through my website, and it's just my name, ericrecker.com. On there, there's information about speaking that I do, information about coaching, information about the book that I wrote. I do a weekly blog and send out a newsletter. People are interested in that. One thing that I do offer free of charge is called the 5 Days to Knock Back Burnout Challenge. It's completely free. All I need is your email on there, and we'll send you a series of emails for some real tangible tips of how you can push back the hold of burnout in your life if you feel like you're experiencing that. And then at the bottom of my website, there's the links to my different social media channels. I would love to have a conversation. There's links to connect to me on there, and that's where to find me.
Yeah, my gosh. And speaking of chapters in life, in your career, you go through series of burnout, and that is totally normal. It's a part of the journey. So my goodness, again, Eric, such a noble place to put your skills, and I'm very glad that you're putting them in this area, because being an entrepreneur, I know navigating 08 and 2020 and so many changes in the economy, with clients, with the labor force, with the cost of goods, it all impacts what is normal. And as an entrepreneur, you have to protect your headspace. And a big part of that is refueling and practicing disciplines that allow you to win the now and navigate burnout, which is totally normal. So my gosh, I hope you all enjoyed this show as much as I did. Eric, again, thank you so much for your time and your message. Please subscribe to the channel. It's how we're able to continue to grow and bring individuals on, Eric, that can help us level up in practical and big ways so that we can hit our goals in our life. Smash the like button, add to our conversation, drop a comment, and as always, level up.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show. Remember, it's never too late to get started on your entrepreneurial journey. Don't forget to subscribe, like, and share if you enjoyed today's segment. Catch us again next week and visit limepainting.com for more of the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show.